And welcome back to Mental Health Matters. We are so excited to have another fantastic show for you today. Today, we're talking about PTSD. Yes, it's been a continual theme here for a little bit, but today we're having a veteran from the war, and he's going to tell us about his experience. Jason has this incredible experience and some great things that he's done to get over things. And we're going to go through things. My name is Dr. Scott Terry. You're listening to KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial, the most incredible radio station on the planet. And you could email us at mentalhealthmatters@kruufm.com for any questions you have. This is Scott Terry. I'm a mental health licensed in several states professional. I run the Art and Counseling Center with about 30-some therapists. I am a supervisor trainer. I run a couple other organizations as well. And if you're in Fairfield and like to be part of the Fairfield Mental Health Alliance to go over some of the incredible things we are doing to transform mental health in this community, let us know. All right, enough of me. Rob, tell us about yourself.
Well, I'm here in Fairfield, and I'm glad to be back. I was gone to Canada last week, and we got a great show. I think 2 weeks ago, we KRUU and Mental Health Matters took you to South Africa, and today we're going to go to California. So it's a wonderful world, and we're trying to bring it to you.
And we have one of my interns, Jennifer. Jen, tell us about yourself.
I'm Jen. I'm a graduate student, ready to almost graduate here in a couple months.
Graduating from where?
Walden University.
All right.
All right. And you also have familiarity. You grew up in a military family. Mm-hmm. One of your kids is at Paris Island, and one's about to go.
Nope. Actually, one just came back from a medical. They sent her home from a medical.
Ah, okay.
But I did come from a military background, and I had an ex that had PTSD. He was an Army veteran as well.
Ooh. So you're familiar with this world.
Yes.
So, everybody but you, Scott.
Yeah.
I'm a veteran, too.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, tell us.
While we're out there defending your freedom and everything, you're just getting credentials.
Yes, that's true. That's true. That's true. So Rob was a veteran of the Civil War.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah.
By the way, the war is World War II, but yes. I was in the Vietnam War.
Yes, okay. All right, so Jason, finally getting to you. Tell us about yourself and what you want to talk about today.
Yeah, my name is Jason. I'm from Anaheim, California, born and raised. I am a veteran of the Iraq War. I was with 1st Marines during the invasion. Went through combat there for about a year. And when I was over there, you know, you experience a lot of things. You see death. You see that the fog of war, a lot of paranoia, a lot of not very nice things that come with the territory of war. Being that I was very young at the time, you know, got out around 22 years old. At the time, I thought there was nothing wrong with me. That I was fine. But as I went along, year after year after year, I found that I started to have real issues with panic, anxiety. I started having problems at work. I wasn't able to stay at jobs very long. You know, it kept being a pattern of year after year, I was changing jobs, and, you know, I didn't know what was going on. And around 2007, which was 5 years after I got out, or actually not 5 years, but about 4 years after I got out, I started to seek help from the VA to find out what really was wrong with me after people from my family and friends, you know, supported that I needed to find some help. When I did, I was diagnosed after a lengthy process of dealing with the VA with PTSD. From there, I was offered all types of treatment, psychological treatment, counseling, psychotherapy. I've been thrown numerous different types of medication. None of it worked, from Klonopin to Paxil to a number of different of antidepressants and anti-anxiety medications, which in my mind and the mind of many others tended to make me worse. It turned me into a vegetable, and it just wasn't a solution for me. As I went along with this, I really started to give up hope that I was ever going to find anything to give me any type of peace of mind. And I just so happened to hear something on the radio, and believe it or not, from Howard Stern about how his experience with transcendental meditation really changed his family, his mother, him, and the amazing effects that it's had for him mentally and physically. So I looked into it. I found a TM center in Anaheim, and I just said, you know, I've tried everything else. Nothing has helped. Let me try this and see, you know, if this is a last-ditch effort to find some way to, you know, repair my mind and body. And it's really made all the difference in the world, because it's the one thing that I found that's given me that peace of mind, and day after day after day, as I've continued to practice twice a day, it's really helped to, it's been the magic pill for me. It's lessened my anxiety, lessened my depression, made me, given me more drive and focus. It's really hard to put into words the drastic turnaround that TM has had on my life, especially after traumatic events and PTSD. You know, there's a long time there where I was, you know, not feeling like there's any hope for me. This is something I'm going to have to carry around for the rest of my life, and it's just going to be the burden I have to carry. To know that there's been a technique out there all along that could help me, and that I found it, it's made all the difference in the world for me.
That's great, Jason. Let me good overview. Let me ask a couple of backup questions. You went into the Marine Corps right after high school?
Right after high school. When I went in around 2000, I was getting in high school. I really wasn't a great student. I was kind of a troublemaker. Came from a broken home, didn't have a lot of money, and I had an option. Do I have the discipline to go to college at the time, or do I want to do something different, get out of here, and try and make something better in my life? And that seemed at the time to be the Marine Corps, so I signed on the dotted line and became a Marine.
And you were 19?
I was 18.
18. 18.
Wow. Yes.
And then you did basic in Paris Island?
San Diego. I'm a Hollywood
okay.
Marine. So, I didn't. Not Paris Island, on the other side of the country, down at MGRD San Diego on Camp Pendleton.
I can't talk. Go ahead, Jan. What were you saying?
Well, I was just telling you that the males usually go to San Diego and the females go to Paris Island.
Okay. Well, in the Navy, it used to be that. Well, there was an East Coast and West Coast, too, but we don't have boot camp in San Diego anymore in the Navy. So you joined the Navy, joined the Marine Corps. By the way, same reasons I joined the Navy. I was kind of a troublemaker in high school, and I did, as you and I talked beforehand, come to...
Rob, a troublemaker?
Yeah.
Hard to imagine.
Came to Anaheim to go to school at Chapman College there, but I flunked out of that and went to Mexico surfing, and then I joined the Navy. So anyway, you joined the Navy and had boot training, and when did you go to Iraq?
You know, right after, you know, in 2002, I went there in the pre-build-up for the invasion. Pretty much 9/11 changed everything. When I went in, it was still kind of that Camelot stage. We hadn't been into a major conflict since, you know, the Gulf War. So it was a drastic change. When those towers came down, we knew on Camp Pendleton that we were going to go somewhere. We just didn't know where and when. Around 2002 in October, I found out that I was going to be deployed to Kuwait to await the buildup for a possible invasion. And in February, March of 2003, we went forward. and into combat operations. I was with the 1st Marine Division. We went up forward in a lightning speed pace. I helped them with targeting acquisitions. Worked with a lot of counter intel teams out there, so you get to see a lot of destruction, a lot of chaos. This goes with the territory, and it's an experience unlike any other, and it's not a pleasant experience for anyone, but it's one where you depend on your fellow Marines to get through it, and luckily for me, I was able to get through it and get back, but there was definitely trauma out there that you're privy to being in war, and it followed me home, and it followed me for the rest of my life till this day.
Okay, what did you do when you were in the Marine Corps? What was your job code or whatever it called?
Originally, I was an intel guy, but I was attached to ground assets to provide on the ground intelligence to combat troops.
Explain what those two things are to us, Jason, because to a non-military guy like me, what does that mean to be an intelligence guy and ground something?
Let me interrupt just a second. This is KRUU Radio 100.1 on your radio dial. This is Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry in Fairfield, Iowa, the best place in Iowa and the best radio station in Iowa.
And we're talking today to Jason about PTSD as a veteran. Go on, Jason.
No problem. So a guy like me in the military has a top secret security clearance, and we work with the battle space analysis and come up with the battle plans and get the intelligence necessary to help commanders provide the warfighting effort. Now, with people that are able to go out and have experience with ground units, that the infantry on the ground, sometimes they'll select small elements to go down to the battalion level, where you're actually on the ground with combat elements providing real-time intelligence. So there's less of the fog of war and more of precise targeting, precise maneuvering, able to, because the biggest thing in combat is the fog of war. It's throughout history is that, everything that can go wrong will go wrong if you let it go wrong, and there needs to be a little bit of clarity on the ground to help mitigate that foggy picture, and that's me. Me going out and helping with the targeting, helping to make sure that we're going the right routes, to make sure that we are engaging at the right areas, and to make sure that what's coming from command elements is getting properly distributed down to the forward elements so they can be as effective as possible.
How do you actually do that? So I'm sorry to be so inquisitive here about this kind of thing, but I I've always been fascinated. You're saying a lot of words, but it doesn't really mean something to me as a civilian. What are you actually looking at to investigate, to try and figure out this information? Because there's no drones to sort of, there must be some satellites or something where you're like, oh, there's a lot of troops here and bad people here and do this there. So
it's a combination of all those things. It's a combination of having, first of all, having the security clearance to be privy to that information. And second, using some of those assets, drone assets, counterintelligence assets, CIA human intelligence assets, things that you're going to get information from, and just being, part of my job and training was to know, to study up on Iraqi military and Iraqi paramilitary functions that, I have a pretty good idea at the time of how they're going to act or where they're going to stage from. And a lot of that is having access to that information that a lot of the ground units on the ground aren't going to have, based on the fact that they don't have that high of a clearance, and being able to disseminate that information to them at that level, with where usually you're dealing with a commander that's got to go back to a headquarters unit, wait to get clearance over there, then have to come back down the unit, and that takes time usually. And when you're in combat, you don't have that luxury of having that much time when you're trying to make on-the-fly decisions. So having a liaison type guy like me who's able to tap into those sources helps to cut down a lot of that lead time and help a commander and small units make decisions on the fly instead of waiting for, you know, long bureaucratic processes, you know, up the chain of command to get the information needed to make a decision right now.
Okay.
So you were diagnosed with PTSD while you were in the service or after?
After. For a while, I didn't think there was anything wrong with me. You know, I got out, thought I was on top of the world. I was working full-time, going to school full-time, you know, doing all these things that, went along.
You're going to Chapman.
It got harder and harder for me, and I started having panic attacks and things I'd never dealt with before until, you know, it really became a problem, and I was faced with an issue of, yeah, this is a problem, and I need to figure out what's going on with me. So, you know, at first, I really, you know, for the first couple of years, I really didn't notice anything. I thought it was fine, and then after that, you know, it really started to snowball. I found that, you know, all these things I didn't deal with, you know, it almost like the meter was still from the war, you know, when I was in that go-go-go mode, I'd carry that over to my civilian life, and I didn't take the time to assess anything, to analyze anything, and, you know, something in the back of my mind just kept building up. It just got progressively worse, and a lot of the panic, you know, started to really manifest itself, and kind of as an alarm to me to say that, you know, hey, there's things that are going on that you're not dealing with that you're going to have to take some time to deal with.
Aside from the things that you did at the VA, what did you do any other kind of things to try to compensate for the PTSD?
You know, most of it came to the VA. I really didn't reach out to a lot of family friends. I was ashamed of what's going on to me. I was used to, you know, I came from a warrior culture, you know, from the Marines. So, you know, it was suck it up and you know, you're fine and just keep going, the mission first. So I didn't really want to admit to myself first that there was a problem. And, you know, to go on with that, I didn't want to admit to anyone else out of pride that I had a problem too. So, you know, people like my wife now and close to me started noticing that, you know, there are certain things that were going on that they didn't recognize before. And, you know, anger issues, you know, frustration, just closing myself off, you know, from, you know, people, really not, you know, really getting in my own head, becoming a shell of who I was. And people started to notice, and I started to notice. And that was what led me to seek treatment, but mostly through the VA, because that's what, you know, that's where I thought that most of the treatment that I could get where the people were. I tried other things, exercising and stuff like that, but I would say that 95% of my treatment was coming to VA in the form of counseling, psychiatric treatment, and medication.
Okay. All right. And you're married?
Yes, I am.
Oh, wonderful. All right. So then you started, how did you find out about TM? You said you mentioned you heard it on the radio. You don't remember what kind of a program it was or anything?
I remember exactly. It was Howard Stern. I was a big Howard Stern fan. So as I was listening throughout the years, believe it or not, he would always bring up transcendental meditation from time to time and how it really helped his mom deal with a lot of depression when she lost her sister. And it was something that made him try it out, and he's been a proponent of it ever since. And I always thought in the back of my head, hey, that might be something that I really want to try. And then one day, you know, probably around, I would say a couple years ago, I heard it again, and with all I was going through, and I just made a decision. I said, you know what, I'm going to seek this out and find out what's going on with this TM and really, you know, try to take a stab at it and see if it can help me, because everything else is not. So I went to a TM center in Orange, California, near Anaheim, And they were able to teach me this technique that's really been able to be therapeutic for both my mind and my body, and it's made all the difference in the world for me.
That's amazing. So the TM itself was the catalyst for change.
Yes.
Are you still on medication? Are you still doing, do you try exposure therapy and some of the other therapeutic techniques, CBTs, etc.?
Thankfully for me, I was able after about, and this wouldn't happen for everyone. I mean, it's case by case. I would never be a proponent for people that are on medication to drop their medication. If they're having benefit from TM or not, it's a decision that needs to be made between the patient and doctor. But for me, in my individual case, within a couple months of doing the TM technique, which is 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, meditation, I was having such profound effects that after talking to the doctor, weaned myself off of medication that I was on. And after a month and a half after that, since then, I've been completely medication free and just rely on, talking to my psychiatrist from time to time, therapy sessions, and just my TM and taking care of my body and mind, exercise and other beneficial things of that nature, but I am not on medication anymore.
But, by the way, you're listening to KRUU-FM 100.1 on your FM dial and on the internet everywhere. These shows are archived, and if you would like to email us, we're at mentalhealthmatters@KRUU-FM.com. An important point that you made is that you don't just drop medication ever, by the way. You titrate. You go off slowly if you and your physician and your therapeutic team find it doesn't work. And that even while you found TM to be incredibly effective, you also had some adjunct support along the way. And you still have some therapeutic stuff. You're still doing exercise, meditation. You probably have a good diet. You probably have a good sleep pattern now. And you probably do a number of things to really keep yourself together, correct? Is there anything else you'd like to say about your treatment protocols? Just the TM itself has just been amazing, and you just stick to it like glue. Is there anything else?
I do. I really, for me, it's like, brushing your teeth. You do that twice a day for certain reasons to stave off tooth decay. For me, I do my TM, twice a day because I've seen the results. I've seen the a release from anxiety and panic especially. Panic attacks were following me everywhere, and it became quite severe. The thing for me is, I didn't know when or where I was going to have one, and it really caused me concern of going anywhere because of the fact that I was going to have one. So the fact that using TM technique. A simple, meditation technique that's really portable. You can do it anywhere. Doing it twice a day, as the regimen calls for, it's really made all the difference for me. So I make sure that I keep regular with it because I've seen the results, and as I continue, it's just beneficial. It makes me feel good. It gives me that short reprieve. A couple times a day where I just find some inner peace from a very fast-paced world, and it's just a routine for me. To give up, a total 40 minutes of my day throughout the day for, that type of lasting effect is well worth it.
What about your experience with the physicians at the VA and other people? How do they feel about TM? What are their response, or do they know about it?
Yes, I wanted to make sure that they know about it, so maybe in the future they can help other veterans, and maybe it can be a sponsor form of treatment, alternative to medication that can be offered, because I think there's enough studies and things that are coming out now where a lot of the treatment that's going on for PTSD medication-wise has been wildly ineffective. And a lot of the techniques that they try to use haven't been as effective as it would like. Now, that's not the case for everyone, but for me and many others, the TM has been more effective than the medication or any of the other treatments that we've gotten. For me, medication just simply caused me to be foggy and to, in certain cases, make some of my conditions worse.
I don't know all the specifics, but, you know, MUM here, the Maharishi University of Management, has a grant from the Institute of Mental Health, or I think, to do PTSD with veterans. And I think it's like a $20 million grant or something. So I think the military is waking up and taking a look at it. And thanks to people like you that are, you know, have experienced it and that passing that on to them. I think our time is about, I think we got about a minute or two left. Is there anything else, Jason, that you'd like to give to us right now?
Yeah, well, I mean, the main thing for me is for any, you know, veteran out there suffering from PTSD, and the first thing is recognize that you need help. It's a hard, coming from that type of culture is very hard for me. It took years for me to accept I have a problem, but the first step is to realize that you have issues, not be ashamed of those issues, and furthermore, go out and seek help, whether that be from the VA or otherwise. Go out there and get the help you need. And I would just say, if you have a chance to find a TM center, Transcendental Meditation, and use it, go out and find it, because it's really worth it. And there's grants and scholarships out there that you can find. I know that the David Lynch Foundation and others are out there that support vets now to try and learn these techniques. But it really is a worthwhile endeavor. It's a worthwhile technique to go out and seek treatment. But the first thing is to recognize that you need treatment and go out and seek that treatment. Don't just live with it because the more you live with that without addressing it, the worse it's going to be. You know, we all deserve to, you know, live our lives, you know, in a healthy manner and to be at peace. So go out and seek that peace. Try to find TM. Try to find treatment through the VA. Do what you can, but recognize that you have the problem and go to correct it.
Thank you, Jason. We're just about out of time. We just have another 30 seconds here. Thank you so much. And tell us about your future now. Just in 10 seconds here, what is your future?
I'm trying to finish up my MBA program. You know, in the next couple months, I got my kids, two kids. I got my wife, and just trying to really, live life and enjoy life.
And so you really feel the power to create this now. You're no longer PTSD, panic attacks, and everything, and all the other anxiety syndromes are no longer part of your life. You're really able to be who you need to be.
I am.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Jason. Is there anything else you'd like to say goodbye?
Be well out there. You know, take care of yourselves and find your happy place in life.
All right. Thanks very much, Jason. Thank you for being on Mental Health Matters, and thank you for listening to KRUU Radio 100.1 FM on the radio dial. This is Fairfield, Iowa, and
Mental Health Matters, Dr. Scott Terry. And I love your final statement. Say that one more time. Find your happy place. How'd you say that?
Yeah, find your happy place in life. Whatever you got to do, seek out that inner peace that you need, as we all need it.
We'll close with that. Thank you, Jason. Bye.
Thank you.